1 o'clock.
Oh, snap! Snap!
Wake up, stand up, and snap out of it. Take the risk right out of it. Wake up, stand up, snap out of it. Change your mind, begin again. Just snap.
Hello, everybody. I'm Dee Dee Mercer Moffitt and the top dog at Raw, dogfoodandcompany.com. This is the Raw Dog Food Truth Podcast. And just remember, the views and the opinions expressed on the show are not a substitute for medical advice. So please consult your veterinarian for health information. You know, we got to say that so nobody sues us, right? Anywho, hey, we always like to start out the show with telling you some of the things that people are saying about our product. So here's one. It says, Foxy is doing great. We already started feeding her the sardines, duck necks, and chicken chub, and she's doing great. I mean, she's got a solid stool and a great appetite. She's a natural. Thank you so much for that. And then another one says, hi, Dee Dee. Thanks for following up. We love your customer service. We just started out this morning straight from the fridge feeding the raw, and Bailey went over and seemed, you know, tentative. So when he left his bowl 30 seconds later, I thought, well, he didn't like it. But then I looked in the bowl, and it was all gone. He is a happy camper. And the last one is, hey, Dee Dee, River is doing amazing on your food. He's now 5 months old and 55 pounds. He has his appetite back. He's happy and fun as ever, and he loves his sardines. As Carmen said, I give him one each day. So thank you so much. We'd love to hear about how your dog is doing on the raw dog food diet. And speaking of Carmen, I got her with me today. Carmen, what's happening in your canine world?
Well, my canine world stretched out between 6 months of age and 6 years of age, so we're all over the place here.
You know what I'm so amazed about, Carmen, is that you go running. You take how many dogs at a time and go running?
Well, on the average day, it's 15, but so that's the average. So it goes all the way up to 20, sometimes 21, and some days it's only, you know, 10, 12. So it depends on the day because of the daycare dogs. That's why it fluctuates.
But, so, you know, what I got to say about that is that Caesar Milan has nothing on you. You know, when he goes running with his dogs, he ain't got nothing on you, Carmen.
I've never watched to see how Caesar does it and how many dogs he does it with, so I have no idea.
Yeah. Well, I can assure you, he doesn't. I don't know that I've seen him do it with 21 dogs, but I'd love to see you. I got to come out with my camera and videotape that. Although I know you hate to be on camera, so I might have to sneak around, you know, kind of hide in the bushes and then get your video so we can show everybody. That's amazing. But
well, you're very welcome.
But
to
hey,
come
Carmen,
on the run.
Oh. I would, you know, you'd probably kill me on the run. I do need to get out there and run. I was talking to somebody today, and we were talking about, you know, the raw diet. And because, you know, when we go on the deliveries, you know, we do the twice a month delivery at Raw Dog Food and Company. And so we talk, Rick and I get off the truck, you know, as we're delivering, we talk to people. And one of our customers said, hey, do you have anything leaner than, you know, the Wolfram Plus? And I said, leaner than what? And she said, well, I don't know, but my vet said that, you know, what he has seen in the raw diet is that dogs get fat. Now, I'm going to come back to that, but it leads me to why I even brought this up. But I was talking to somebody, and I said, you know, I was 20 pounds lighter myself when I was following the paleo diet, which sort of mimics what we do here. You know, we don't feed our dogs nuts and seeds and that sort of thing. But, you know, the paleo diet's a very low-carb diet, which high in protein, which is what the raw dog food diet is. And so anyway, I just thought that was interesting. And then when I was in Oklahoma last week, I was reading an article where it said that doctors are now starting to really look at pet health and how all of their issues, diabetes, pancreatitis, all of that kind of stuff is mimicking our diet. And they're starting to really look at how pet health and human health is related. And, of course, as we know, it's related to food. But it was funny, Carmen, because I was when the vet said this, so she took her dogs in, and the vet said, well, what I see from the raw diet is that dogs get fat on it. I don't know that I've seen raw-fed dogs fat. And if I have seen them fat or overweight, it's only because their parents are not weighing their food out for their species-appropriate amounts, and they're sort of eyeballing it. And I can tell you, Carmen, if I eyeball Asta's food, I'm always about 6 ounces over what she's supposed to be eating. So multiply that twice a day, and I've got a dog that's being overfed.
You should always, always weigh your dog's dog food. And you should start that way in weighing, no matter whether you have a six-month-old or you have a six-year-old. You need to weigh. That's your starting point. And then you feed at that rate. Of course, a juvenile, a puppy, is supposed to be fed 30% his body weight, especially for the first year. And then a mature adult is only 2%, and a geriatric or elderly dog is 1.5%. So these are starting points. You start with that percentage, and then you keep track of your dog. You don't have to be running to the vet or finding a scale all the time. There are three things you can use at home as a guideline to tell if your dog or puppy is at the right weight. Two of them are visual tests. One of them is a hands-on test. The visual tests are from the profile. The top line of the dog is nice and level. The underline goes from the elbows back to the flank in a nice tuck up into the flank area. So that's one of your visuals. The second visual is when you're standing above your dog and the head is pointing away from you, you're at its rear, you start at the shoulders, and the shoulders should be nice and flat. Come to a very slight roundness at the ribs, and then a nice tuck in at the flank, and then again, nice round, strong thighs. So that's your second visual. Now your hands-on test, you put your thumbs together. Again, you're standing behind the dog at the rear. You put your thumbs that are on top of each other in between the dog's withers, and then you use your fingers, go right down the spine with your thumbs, and use your fingers to feel if they pass the rib test. And in the rib test, you want to be able to feel the roundness of the rib without any heavy pressure. If you have to press to find a rib, your dog's overweight. If your fingers fall in between the rib, then you have a dog that's too thin. You don't need a scale to keep track of your dog's condition and whether you're feeding them the correct way. Use the two visuals and the one hands-on, and it doesn't matter what age or size your dog is, you'll be nailing it if you keep them within those three tests. That's the important part. But
now,
weigh your food. Don't guess. Do not eyeball.
There you go. I wanted to just clarify that for our listeners. We don't need a scale to put our dogs on to weigh their weight, but we do want to get a scale that to weigh their food. Because, you know, I've been doing
That's
this 15
right.
years. You've been doing it 20, you know, 8 years, 28 years or so. And I'm telling you, I do this because I think as pet parents, we just want to love our dogs to death, and some of us are doing that. And we tend to give them too much food. The other thing, Carmen, that I'm finding out is this. That when people are talking to me about either their dogs are not transitioning well or that they're too heavy, I really have to probe, because I know, I've done this long enough now, that I know that there's something else that's going into that dog's body. And so I always say, well, tell me about the treats. Oh, treats. Those count? Yeah. Treats count.
Okay.
Treats count.
It's the same for humans as it is for dogs. Calories
I know,
in,
that
calories
bag of
out.
Chips. Absolutely. But let's talk about calories real quick, because I did have this question that came up, and then we're going to get into the main theme of our show today, and that's going to be pancreatitis, cancer, and autoimmune disease, and should those dogs be on raw. But I did have somebody that emailed me and wanted to know the calorie count of our chubs. Now, Carmen, you pretty much know the calorie count of beef and kind of all your choices. Here's the thing. I have never counted calories in the raw dog food diet for the reasons that we just talked about a second ago.
Right.
Number one, I'm watching my dog, and I'm looking, and if I see that she's getting too heavy, I'm going to, you know, take her down a couple of ounces. Or Asta had a torn ACL, and we wanted to keep her a little bit thinner, so we also decreased her food a couple of ounces. But I don't count calories. Hell, I don't even count calories for myself. It makes me mad.
You don't need to count calories, okay, if you weigh your dog's food, all right? The only time I ever worry about calories is if I have a dog that's at a correct weight and is transitioning from dry food to raw food. And then that gives me a starting point, you know, to find out what calories he's been taking in as far as is he going to fall into the same calorie range in a raw diet depending on his activity level. Because it all counts. Activity
yeah.
level training.
But- Right. But, you know, we try to make this diet as easy as it can be so that people will stick with it because we all know that we're busy and we live in an instant world. That's why so many people love kibble. And so we want to make it as easy as possible. And if you can look at your kibble and right off the bat, look, if it's kibble, it's high in carbs. Boom, bada bing, nothing to it. You can't, you know, it's high in carbs. So put them on the raw, and if they're not losing weight, you know, then maybe we need to take a look at that, right?
Right. Very much so.
Okay. So. Well, let's talk a little bit about some of the questions that are coming in with people who, you know, they're having some issues with their dogs, Carmen. And again, I do want to say the views and the opinions expressed on the show are not a substitute for medical advice. These are our experiences and our opinions from feeding a raw diet for 16 to 30 years. So do your research, peeps. I know that some people like to be told what to do. That's not really what we advocate here. We advocate doing your own research, knowing your dog, and proceeding in that manner. But here's a couple of questions that we do have, Carmen. We have a 16-month-old Frenchie. Okay, and they noticed that his legs were going out as he was running, and he was dragging his legs behind him. So they went in and did an MRI and all of the workup, and he was diagnosed with MUO for short. That stands for a very long name. It's called meningoencephalomyelitis. I can't even say it. It's so long. But can you say the right word for me?
Can I know?
Okay, so what it is, it is a lesions on the brain and spinal cord. So they did, you know, an MRI, spinal tap, and an infectious disease test on this 16-month-old Frenchie. So anyway, he's not eating raw right now. Before this, he was eating Royal Canin. But he's on a lot of different meds, Carmen. He's on 15 milligrams of prednisone and about four other drugs. And he gets some shots 48 hours every 3 weeks, every 48 hours. So basically her question was this. He's seeing a neurologist. He hasn't been eating raw, but wanting to know, can he, should he move over into the raw world?
Well, there's nothing, you know, medically that's going to stop a dog from eating raw food. You know, some of the vets, of course, their concern are, of course, the same as most people as far as the salmonella and E. coli and that a compromised immune system, you know, that would open the dog up to being even more prone to having problems with those bacteria. But even with compromised immune systems, dogs actually do very, very well with the raw diet because of its ease in digestibility. That digestibility then saves the dog's pancreas and the liver and the kidneys from working overtime, makes it easier. Anything that you can make easier for a dog's body, it, especially if it's compromised, will be, in the long run, easier for them and healthier for them. So there's no reason, because of this, the brain lesions and tumors, that he should have a problem. In fact, because he's on prednisone, you know, you really want to make everything easier on this poor dog, because prednisone, any of the steroids, any of the antibiotics, any of the other drugs that he, this poor dog is receiving right now, will compromise what he can absorb through his intestines, because it wipes out the microbiota in the intestines, which, of course, is another thing they should be doing in between prednisone dosage, is building that back up, whether you use, goat's milk or you know, probiotics or anything like that, or tripe. You should be building the gut back up so that he at least gets some ability of breaking down his food. So, because the steroids will wipe out the gut just like antibiotics does, unfortunately.
Right. So, she was saying that this little Frenchie has been eating boiled chicken and rice because the steroids have been hard on his stomach and he was throwing up blood.
Right.
And he's having major diarrhea issues. So
right.
They're trying to get things settled down with the Cytar bean shots. And I don't even know if I'm saying right that, because it's a medical term. But they are wondering about getting on the raw diet. So what you're saying is, even with all of this, they could move over into the raw diet.
Yes, they're going to have to do a very slow transition because of his digestive system. I mean, every time they give him the prednisone, it slowly but surely wipes out his gut. So they have to. This is something that they should be really on top of and be talking to their vet about how to build up his gut again, since they're wiping it out every time they give him a dosage of prednisone. I'm not sure what the other drug is that he's receiving, but this is his digestive system is really going to go downhill if they're not concerned about this and keep on top of it.
Right.
So they're gonna have to, and if they're just feeding boiled chicken and rice, he's not getting the nutrition he needs to support himself. So unfortunately.
Gotcha. Now, Carmen, are you on the speakerphone? Because we're picking up a lot of back noise back there.
I was.
Get you back on
there. Yeah.
There we go. Okay, good. So here is another question that came in. And this one was actually at the pickup where you were at on Saturday to pick up the food. And this is quite interesting because we had a dog that was there. And these dogs are feeding tons of fat. They have long chains, medium chains, and balancing. They still had dander and dry skin. And you told them something that was very interesting about enzymes. And so I think there's a lot of dogs out there that experience the same thing. They're on raw. They're giving them the right fats. And yet their dog's coats are still, dry, and the skin sort of looks elephant-y. So what gives? Carmen, can you hear me?
Dee Dee.
Yes, there you are. You're back.
Sorry. So if this, I don't know where it cut out, where I was in my explanation. Do you remember?
I think we just have to start from the beginning. I didn't hear a word. I don't know what's going on here.
Okay. So anyway, with this dog that's got the dry skin and the, you know, very thickened skin, looks like an elephant, and sometimes even a loss of hair, you need to take and look at this dog as an individual. If everything is presented for this dog to have good skin and coat, then you have to then go one step further, take this dog to the vet, do what's called an enzyme profile on this dog, and I'll make you a bet, 9 times out of 10, his enzymes for lipase are low. And lipase is the enzyme that breaks down the fat and cross, makes it cross from the intestines into the bloodstream. If he's deficient, and any dog can be deficient in any of the enzymes, it just totally depends on them as an individual. You know, whether it's stress, whether it's age, whether it's a medical condition, why the pancreas isn't producing enough, you don't know. So you need to investigate, take your dog to the vet, do an enzyme profile. It's just a blood draw. It's not expensive. And they can tell you whether this dog is producing the amylase, the lipase, the protease in the correct amounts to break down their food and pass the nutrients into the blood supply. So that's your responsibility as the owner. If you know those nutrients are present in their diet and they're not, that poor dog, that one individual dog is not utilizing them properly, you need to go a step further.
Once we find out that they're not utilizing the enzymes, what can they do to get that producing the way that it should be again?
Well, you can give the dog the enzyme with each meal, and if you've had the enzyme profile done and you know which enzyme is deficient, you can actually just buy that one enzyme, lipase, of course, for fat, and present it to him at every meal. It has to be at every meal. You can't just say, oh, once a day, here we go. Because, at one meal, he'll be able to break fast down. The next meal, he won't be able to. So it has to, and especially with elderly dogs. I do this with my elderly dogs. I present them with the basic digestive enzymes once they get old, because just like us, our enzyme profile, and our pancreas gets old and weak and doesn't produce them as well, the digestive enzymes taken with every meal will help them break down their food into what their body needs as far as nutrition and nutrients as they are concerned. So,
got
enzymes
it.
Are
well,
wonderful.
You know, the enzymes are fabulous. So all of the advocates of a raw feeding diet know the value in feeding a raw food, and it's due to the enzymes that are present in the food. That's why it's raw, because when you cook your food, you damage the enzymes. And why do you need enzymes? Well, yeah, the enzymes are responsible for every metabolic reaction that takes place in a dog's body, and there are basically three different types of enzymes. We've got your metabolic enzymes that are responsible for all organ function. We've got your digestive enzyme produced in the body by the pancreas in the salivary glands, and the digestive enzymes that are present in food, which is what you were just talking about. So when dogs and cats are fed a raw meat diet, the pancreas only needs to secrete a small amount of enzymes because the enzymes are already present in the food. So that's why we talk about not taxing, your organs with kibble, right? You just put undue pressure on them. Yeah, so this is why we absolutely love the raw diet. But again, I think there's so much confusion out there about when you can start a raw diet and when you can't. You know, we've got another customer that one of their dogs is on the raw diet doing very well, but then they have another dog who's been diagnosed with an autoimmune disease. And Carmen, this poor dog, he has loose stools constantly, and they are cooking for the dog. They're cooking him rice and chicken. But he takes, you know, a premixed probiotic. He takes a thyroid prescription. Plus, he does PET tabs, which is a vitamin, every day. But, you know, this particular dog is about 12 and a half years old. But, you know, I really feel for them because this is really tough when you've got this loose stools. Now, he's never been on raw, but I think that they are worried about, you know, should I put my dog on raw? Would you say that the same thing that you said about the last customer?
I would. In this case, they're cooking for him, and his stools are still not hard or formed. They don't have anything to lose. If the stools are soft and loose, he's not getting what he needs out of what they're feeding him anyway, because it's going through the colon too fast. All right. So that's where your absorption of your nutrients take place, is in the intestines. And if things are coming through and not being absorbed, which that's what happens when you have diarrhea, they're not getting what they need, even if you're presenting it, because it doesn't have the time to be absorbed. It's just going through the intestines and the colon too fast. So they need to look at several things there. And one is, of course, the bulk of what they're presenting to this dog. Is it too much? I mean, if they're cooking rice, he could have a rice allergy, which is a common allergy for dogs. They need to really dissect this dog's diet and decide which way they're going to go with it to get his stool back to being normal. So
right, I think I read that wrong, Carmen. He said that, okay, so here's where it started out, the elevated liver enzymes. So he takes dinamarin for that. He had an elevated pancreas level. He had hyperthyroid, which he takes a thyroid tab. And then for his IBS, he takes a Thylan Sol powder. And so where the liver and the pancreatitis diagnosis, they put him on the Royal Canin, okay? The Royal Canin low-fat gastrointestinal food. And so for the past 3 weeks, almost 4 weeks, he's been on boiled chicken and rice. And that is the reason that they went to that over the Royal Canin, because they could not get the diarrhea stopped, even with all of the meds and the Royal Canin. So I think that the boiled chicken and the rice has stopped the diarrhea, but now they're thinking, don't know if I want to switch him over to raw, because they don't want to go through that again, and they don't want to put their poor little guy through that.
Sure. Right. Well, if you transition properly, you'll be able to see, you know, because you do it by bowel tolerance. You don't just go from, the chicken, boiled chicken and rice to raw diet in one meal. The dog's pancreas, and especially this dog, because he's compromised in so many different organs, the pancreas, the liver. You have to do this at a very slow pace, the transition. And we call it bivalve tolerance. You present, you know, in, I don't know what size this dog is, but you do what I call the meatball test. And you put three, depending on the size of the dog, small dogs, it's, you know, teeny dogs, it's dime size. Medium-sized dogs, it's quarter size, and then for big dogs, it's meatball size. You put three of those along the side of the food of what they're currently eating to see what happens to their bowels. Those three meatballs give them diarrhea, and then you need to back off and do it even slower, the transition period, if you really are committed to trying this dog on the raw food. But a dog whose pancreas is compromised already, I mean, they can only benefit from the enzymes being present in a raw diet. Then his pancreas isn't working over time to break everything down.
So let me ask you this question. Is there a point, and what is that point, that someone might say, you know what, the raw diet just isn't working for me? How would that present if, in fact, the raw diet just wasn't working for a dog? Because what happens, and you know this, what happens is that some people transition too fast. They get the diarrhea, they start to vomit, and it scares these pet parents, and I don't blame them. It scares them to death, and then they end up backing off altogether. But is there ever a time when raw just simply doesn't work for them at all?
Not that I've ever found in my history of, you know, feeding raw or talking to people and their experiences with feeding raw. I haven't heard that yet. So I haven't. So I don't know what to tell you. So on that one.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Okay.
Always seen it to be such a benefit, even in the oldest dogs I've seen transition. I saw an 18-year-old chocolate lab transition to raw and start acting like he was, you know, a 4 or 5-year-old dog again. So, you know, it's just unbelievable what I've seen the benefits of the raw diet.
Well, you and I talked about pancreatitis on the last show, and you were talking about how pancreatitis really flares up in the hotter months because these fats are going rancid in the kibble food, and this is causing a flare-up. I got an email from someone here just recently who said there is a multitude of people who are asking in a Yahoo group what to do about pancreatitis because there's so many of them that have it right now and so many of them that are on the Royal Canin diet. Now, Carmen, you're familiar with the Royal Canin. And what is the benefit?
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
They do what's called diet. Are you there?
Yep, I'm here.
Okay, the Royal Canin produces what we call breed-specific diets. They feel that there's a difference between a golden retriever and a lab, so they make diets that fit each breed specifically. So, you know, that's their basic claim to the market in kibble dog food. They also have prescription diets also. So, you know, it depends on what the dog's problem is nutritionally as to what nutritional diet they're put on in Royal Canin. So, but the problem is not necessarily with the manufacturing of the dog food. Most of the time, pancreatitis is caused from the storage and distribution of the dog food in the hot summer months, in that the warehouses that most dog food is contained in is not climate controlled at all. And so it just heats up in the heat of the summer. The dog food bags heat up and the fat turns rancid. And that's why we have such a high incidence of pancreatitis in the summer months. So with kibble dog food, we don't have that problem with raw food because it's, if you handle it properly, you should never have that problem with raw foods.
Well, let me ask you this question. Do you see that there's a benefit to going over to raw? Again, I'm sort of asking the same question over and over again because we're talking about dogs with pancreatitis. We're talking about dogs with autoimmune deficiencies. We're talking about dogs with IBS, irritable bowel syndrome. And so from what you're saying is, even if they have these issues going on, even if they're on a medication, that there isn't any issue with going over to the raw diet. From what you've seen, there's only benefits. But if they are going to do that, then we need to do that slowly because of their compromised immune system, their compromised, liver or pancreatitis, pancreas. And if we do that slowly, then there shouldn't be an issue.
That's right. And The problem, I think, PD, with most people is they see how much the dog enjoys it when they put it down, you know, the three meatballs down in their bowl, and they just say, oh, heck, he likes it. I'm going to just switch him over, all, you know, to a complete raw diet right now. Instead of watching their stools and making sure that they are having, you know, nice, firm bowels, and that's what the bowel tolerance is when you do a transition period. Okay? They really need to watch what their dog's body is doing individually with that diet to see if it's beneficial or not. You can tell, I know this is really strange to say on radio, but you can tell so much about a dog's diet and if it's beneficial for him by looking at his poops. Okay? You can tell even if you're feeding him too much by looking at his poops. Okay? Because it's totally different when it's not the right amount.
So give us a little poop lesson here. I'm a poop watcher. I'm a poop watcher. Watch your poop go by. My. Okay.
Your poop will, of course, change color depending on which protein you're feeding. So if you're doing rotational proteins and not feeding the same protein all the time, you're going to get different color poops. So the darker your protein, the darker your poops. The lighter your protein, the lighter the poops. Of course, if you're feeding a lot of raw meaty bones also, you're going to have even more of a different color poop. It's going to be very white and chalky, but very hard. Because of the high calcium, magnesium, phosphorus content of the poop. So that's your first lesson, is to know that the color of it changes depending on what protein you're feeding, okay? Now, you can get everything. You can still have a firm stool, but it could be covered with mucus, or could be a green color, or it could be a black tarry color. And so all of those things mean different things in as far as what the dog's body is doing with that particular diet. So there's a whole, you know, course on just reading your dog's poop as to whether he's doing well on the food or he's not doing well on that food. And that's for any food that you feed him, or treat for that matter. You have to be very, very aware of anything you feed your dog. It can have a different reaction in the digestive system, okay? The average dog in good health takes 4 days to change their pancreas, the profile of the pancreas, the enzymes that are produced by the pancreas, especially if that dog is being fed the same thing day in, day out, day in, day out. Now, if you're always rotating your protein, always, you know, consistently, you know, it doesn't mean every meal has to be changed from one protein to another, but every other day, whatever. You know, well, this day I had fish. That meal they had lamb. That meal they had beef or chicken or turkey. That keeps the pancreas in a wide enzyme profile. In other words, the pancreas is always producing a wide profile. It's not narrow. Whereas if they're always eating the same thing, the same protein, the same combination, the pancreas is only going to produce the enzymes necessary to break that food down. So guess what? That's when the pancreas narrows, and the enzymes that they produce only will work to what they're eating. So you really should, you know, try and keep your dog's enzyme profile broad so that they can eat anything that you give them. So, and healthy and working the right way. But like you said, so many people get so lazy that they just present one thing to the dog all the time because it's easy and fast for them. So, and then the second the dog gets into something that, you know, whether it's trash or somebody offers them a treat they're not used to having, they get diarrhea from it. And so that's not a good sign. That's not a good pancreas that's functioning at the top of the chart there.
Gotcha. Now, let's go back to the food that has the best enzymes in it, one that would certainly help out with the probiotics, and that again is the green tripe. We are a big believer in the green tripe. Do you think that these folks that we've been talking about today with the compromised immune system, IBS, pancreatitis, would benefit by using the unbleached green tripe that we have?
They can, but they still have to transition properly. All right? The green tripe for a dog with having digestive issues or a compromised immune system is excellent if they transition them properly and see if that dog's digestive system is going to tolerate it and benefit from it. But you have to do it the transition period correctly.
Right. And
patiently.
Again, you have to be patient. And I'm not a fan, never have been a fan of, you know, mixing your raw with your kibble. So again, you know, Carmen, we use that tripe in that when we talk to people about transitioning, but we want to make sure that if they're feeding kibble in the morning, right, then we're going to give them those treats or those transitions in the middle of the day after they've let that kibble sort of settle down in their stomach. And what we see is that when that gets mixed, sometimes that really does upset the dog's stomach. And then you throw out the raw and you go back to the kibble, and it never was the raw. It was the mixing of it.
Right. It can be that, unfortunately. So, you know, that takes a little bit of experimentation in doing your transition. So you have to understand that the transition period is very important. If the problem with feeding raw with kibble is it's digested in two different ways. And if it sits in the dog's stomach undigested and ferments, that's when you have a problem. The raw won't sit in the digestive system and ferment. It's the kibble that will. So the only time I ever allow kibble to be fed with raw is during a transition period. And then that's it. You want to get them off the kibble dog food. So,
gotcha.
There's nothing
gotcha.
Beneficial in the kibble dog food for the dog as far as, you know, long-term health is concerned, especially because of the high carbs. I'm a real proponent of low glycemic values in dog food, and very much so even in human diets. So even if somebody asks me about fruits and veggies in a dog's diet, the only ones that I will support in fruits and veggies in a dog's diet are the low glycemic ones. Okay?
Which we're going to have to stop right there. We're going to have to stop right there, Carmen, because we're running out of time. They're going to get cut off. But we will talk about the low glycemic vegetables in our next podcast. But thank you so much for joining me today, Carmen. And listen, everybody, if you want more information, go to rawdogfoodandcompany.com. Reach out to myself or Rick. And remember that friends, you know, they really don't let friends feed kibble. All right, everybody, we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Oh, snap.
Wake up, stand up, and snap out of it. Take the risk right out of it. Wake up, stand up, snap out of it. Change your mind, begin again. Just snap.